Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of Cleveland Browns Weekend right here on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. I'm Vic Carucci, your host for a solid 60 minutes of Browns discussion. Great show in store for you this morning. The Browns have wrapped up their offseason workouts with the end of mandatory minicamp drills on Thursday. From the standpoint of football activity, that's pretty much going to be it until training camp opens in late July. But that doesn't stop us from talking about the Browns, of course. And this morning, you're going to get a summary of the team's 10 weeks of offseason work from Doug Deacon, former Browns offensive lineman and the analyst on the Browns Radio Network. We'll go through several areas of the team and provide an early preview of what to expect when the pads start popping in Berea next month. You'll also hear from the man who sits next to Deacon in the Browns broadcast booth, the one and only voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim and I will give our thoughts on how the team has progressed through minicamp as well as the rest of its off-season workouts. Mary Kate Cabot is a longtime Browns beat writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and she'll be on the show to share what she thinks about what the Browns have done and how things are shaping up in various position battles. We make it a point to let you hear from national NFL media types on this show, and this morning is no exception. You're going to hear from the highly opinionated Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Pete has some strong opinions about the Browns that he'll be sharing, and he'll also give his thoughts about the rest of the AFC North. You're not going to want to miss it. All of that is ahead on Cleveland Browns Weekend on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and let's get things started this morning with our conversation with Doug Deacon. All right, Doug, we saw minicamp wrap up this week, and now it's that long period, that 6 weeks or so, about a month and a half, where nothing is really going on involving players. Coaches will do a little bit of stuff, and then they shut down, and then you have that long lull. But after minicamp, I want to know from you what your biggest takeaway from this team is from day one and then 10 weeks later when this thing wrapped up on Thursday.
Well, I think if you look at the receivers, it's an impressive group that they've got now. I think Bess is working out of the slot is going to be a big addition to them. And obviously, they're going to be able to go or going to try to go more vertical. And you look at the emergence of Josh Gordon. He's gotten bigger. I think he's gotten more confident. He's playing at a faster speed. And the same could be said with Greg Little. So, you know, I think, you know, in that regard, the wide receivers have definitely been upgraded. The thing that kind of concerns you at the tight end is, you know, Jordan Cameron, can he stay healthy? I mean, he gets dinged and pulls a muscle in practice, and you got to have somebody you can count on for at least, you know, 16 weeks of the season. And I'm not sure, you know, behind him how much depth that is there. The offensive line, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. You know, there's Gilkey, the young kid from Shattern State, looks like he has the ability to make the ball club. And, you know, the quarterback, you know, that's going to play out when you start getting people in your face and you've got the clock running against you. And you'll find out, I think, in the preseason, you know, how that's going to shake down. But I thought Brandon threw the ball great. And, I mean, he seems a lot more comfortable. And, you know, like you said, he went from speaking Russian to Spanish today because, you know, you got two different systems and two different styles. But, you know, I think, you know, offensively, those are the concerns. Defensively, you know, there's the cornerback position opposite of Joe Hayden. Mm-hmm. You know, they got Owens in free agency, and you don't know for sure. You know, Buster Screen actually is played very well.
I think he's had a good
Buster
off-season.
Screen has done very well, and I think he's just got to, you know, trust himself a little bit more in his speed and try to, you know, anticipate a little bit more. Leon McFadden, you know, he came in late because of he had to, some schoolwork to do out there, but he couldn't come before he graduated. So, you know, he's a little bit behind. The safety position opposite TJ, you know, you got Gibson, looks like he's got playmaking ability, and you got Batamosi, who's got a pretty good hammer to him. He'll come up and drill you. You know, you don't know, you know, the linebackers. I tell you what,
Craig Robertson.
You look at the linebackers. I think Jabal Sheer is going to surprise some people. I think Jabal Sheer is going to be real comfortable there.
Yeah, he absolutely looks it. This is a teaching time, right? The off season is really class, a class in the actual classroom and a class on the field as a classroom. And the coach is doing a lot of intricate, detailed teaching. This time of year, you would assume there'll be a little less of that once they get to training camp when you're specifically preparing for that first game. But in the course of the off-season workouts, it looked to me like the mistakes were becoming a lot less as time went on, right? They were minimized, and you didn't get as many correction moments in the course of practice.
Well, yeah, and in minicamp, they didn't add anything. You know, they pretty much kept what they'd done in OTA. So you know, by not implementing new plays, it's were plays guys were comfortable with from the past, 5 or 6, 7 weeks. So I think, then all of a sudden the game speeds up too. And I think that's a big factor in, the speed of the game.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joins us. And it's understandable that Joe Banner, the CEO of the Browns, Michael Lombardi, the GM, Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, all of them wouldn't necessarily have any sort of love affair and thought that, hey, we've got our guy in Brandon Whedon as the quarterback. It's understandable that he's on trial with them, and I think from that standpoint, there was that uncertainty or has been that uncertainty of really who the guy's going to be. And officially, Rob Chudzinski has not named Whedon or anyone as the starter at quarterback. However, he's taken the first-team snaps throughout the offseason. I think he's made obvious progress. I think he's done a lot of things, and this is the part that I feel good about, is that this group of decision-makers it doesn't necessarily know if they have the right guy at quarterback now or will they have to get the guy down the line. And they also know he's going to be 30 when the season begins. But I think they're also open to him showing them that he can be the guy, and they'd welcome that. I mean, it's obviously the idea that they're not certainly not going to root against him, but they're sort of taking it in stride. Would you say that that's been the approach?
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't light it up last year, and I think one of the things was he had a surrounding cast that was very young at the skilled position. You had a rookie running back, you had a rookie wide receiver, you had a guy in his second year that hadn't played. You had Jordan Cameron, who was basically a rookie, in at the tight end position along with Ben Watson. But, with that, you've got to trust the people you're with. And, I don't think, Brandon might have thrown the ball in the wrong place, but you also have to remember those receivers sometimes run the wrong routes. And
right.
I think now, where they've all been on the same page for, the last 6, 7 weeks, I think, he feels more comfortable that when he throws it, it's the guy's going to be there.
Yeah. There's a true confidence and belief on his part that other people are there to support him. And I think, he talked about this also after that final practice this week, that bigger targets are out there now, and you don't have to put the ball necessarily where they run through it or in their hands per se. You throw it at their bodies, and then they're able to make catches. And I think you see that with Josh Gordon. He reaches out and just snatches the ball, his big arms, big hands. You see Greg Little doing the same thing. And Jordan Cameron, when he's been healthy, to do that. And then down the line, when he's healthy and out there because he's recovering from that ACL, David Nelson, how exciting is it going to be to have that towering target involved too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they ran – I think they probably ran more two-minute offense drills in minicamp than they ran all in practice last year. They put a lot of emphasis on it. But there was a lot of times they took the tight ends out, and you looked at the wide receivers they had, and as you mentioned, if you add David Nelson to the equation, you've got some tall wide receivers that are going to create some mismatches.
But I'll tell you, another thing that emerged in this mini camp or this offseason, to me, counting the OTAs, is Devon Bess and what he'll mean to this passing game. And I think it's been the most underestimated part of the offensive struggles of the past 2 years, that this team had no real reliable slot guy. You had people just who couldn't stay healthy. And, Jordan Norwood would be one name to throw in there. Mo Massaqua was, whatever his role was. And it, basically it was that he couldn't stay on the field and stay healthy. And there really was no other inside true option that you could trust. Now with Devon Bess, I think you have that guy emerging. And I was impressed with not only how steadily he gets open, catches the ball, but what it means when you watch how the Browns defense in practice reacts to him and what it opens up on the outside.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's somebody, like a Wes Welker that, all of a sudden you got to sit there and say, well, we've got to cover this because they're going to just go to him underneath the whole day. And then all of a sudden you bring your safety down to help out and it opens up, something on the outside. But the other part about it is we've often heard people say, well, yeah, why don't they get a veteran wide receiver? Well, that's easy to do, but you got to get the right one. You got to get a guy that gets it. You don't want one of these diva, like Terrell Owens coming in. It's all about him, and he's more about his TV show than he is, about catching, winning football games. And I think with Bess, you've got somebody that's had some struggles in life and has gotten over it and, is going to make something out of his life, and he's going to be good for the other young wide receivers.
Speaking of struggles, and I'm not sure that it's a true struggle, but I'd like this to hopefully cease and desist, and I don't know that it will, but the conversation about Trent Richardson and his health, and far too much talk about that. The kid certainly hearing a lot of those questions, understandably because he hasn't been out there and he was dealing with this shin strain deal in his lower right leg over the past couple of weeks and didn't participate in mini camp at all and basically won't see him until the start of training camp. But then the reports about whether or not he'd be available at the start of training camp or when in August will he be available, would he miss any time in the preseason, on and on and on, what he went through last year. I just think, though, that is perpetuating the wrong kind of mindset. And it's a conversation that almost that should end. Now, the way to end it is for him to be healthy and be out there, of course, but just continually discussing it, I don't think is a good thing for Trent or for the Browns.
No, and I mean, if it's a running back in his eighth or ninth year who's been in the system and knows what's going, how to, run the play, that's one thing. But now, you get a young running back that missed all training camp last year, missed some of the OTAs, missed the mini camp, and you've got to get the reps, with the other guys to get the timing down, to get the speed. And obviously, you don't have pads on, but it'd be even more important at the beginning of training camp. But I think there's a lot of things that he left, on the table last year because he didn't have training camp, and the execution of like the stretch play, and I think a little bit more of a downhill running style than little jumps. Steps that he does, but he's a key component, but they also kind of loaded up the package back there and added a few more bodies.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he's talked about dropping some weight, there were questions raised to that about the medicine he's taken for migraine headaches that he said he's taken all his life that had nothing to do with it. He wants to be lighter and faster and thinks that can make a difference. He still looks put together. I mean, he still looks solid as a rock.
He's a small tank.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's a guy that you're not going to arm tackle. He's just too thick a body. And, that's one of the pluses that he brings. And he's got the low center of gravity, which also, allows him to deliver the blow a lot of times when he's running the ball.
I mean, I think the biggest thing for me will be how this passing game functions in camp and how the pass defense deals with it, because I think you're going to have a couple of things working here. We know about all the big targets and running those routes, but it's vertical. You got to allow those routes to play out. So how that works from an offensive standpoint with, now granted, they're not coming in to hit the quarterback. They can't, but Paul Kruger coming off one side. You mentioned Jabal Sheard and Barkevious Mingo coming off and rushing the passer, how that D-line works. And then how the offensive line handles those longer developing patterns, Kruger versus Mitchell.
Now, back to more of Cleveland Browns Weekend on 92.3 The Fan.
With me now is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. And Jim, we've watched now the second of the Browns' three minicamp practices. And I think the theme that seems to capture everybody's attention watching on the sidelines among media and others who are here is just the pacing of this whole thing, especially on the offensive side. It's moving quickly.
Yeah, it is. They have come a long way from when we first came in and started watching the OTAs, now graduating to minicamp, and the next step being the most important one for them in preparation training camp. And, a couple of weeks ago, Vic, I have to be honest with you, when I saw one of those morning practices that we saw on a Thursday morning, and Brandon Whedon self-admittedly had a very rough day that day, I was a little bit concerned as they got ready for training camp, because you want to be full systems go in training camp, because that's when the clock really begins to run. I feel much better about them right now. They look day and night different and better than they did two or three weeks ago when we've had the first opportunity to pop in and see them. And that's a credit to that coaching staff led by Rob Chudzinski. And I think he feels comfortable about where they are as they have one more day now before they take the break and get ready for training camp.
Definitely. And it isn't just about how smooth the practices look, how few the mistakes have been. I think it's also that plays have been explosive. It looks like they're doing things that get you excited about what we might see in the season.
Yeah, the ball is it's going out. It's going out quickly, and it's being caught on the other end by, you're right, some explosive plays, some separation, some very good catches by a number of people, be it a wide receiver, a slot receiver, a tight end, a running back. I mean, they're all doing their job. I guess the best way to describe it, the practices have been very crisp, and I think that's amazing when you consider you know, the evolution of the team right now under Rob Chudzinski and what they had to do, introduce not only a new offense, but certainly a new defense on the other side with what Ray Horton is trying to introduce, completely different from what they've had. And a lot of guys trying to learn, you know, new schemes, you know, and trying to do it on a fast track. So I think it's been very good. But you're right. I think, boy, throwing the football, they look terrific, I thought, today.
And I think, and to that point, I think Brandon Whedon has done a lot to calm the discussion, if not kill the discussion, that there's some real competition for his job. I think he's gone about this making a statement with his performance in practice that it is my job, that I am the best guy out here, and that I need to be the starting quarterback. And it's more of what he does than what he says. And I think his play, his consistency, as you say, the way the ball has not only been delivered and caught, it's not hitting the ground. You don't see errant plays. You don't see things that just make you look and shake your head and say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's that point in these practices, and to our listeners, right now they're not hitting, okay? You know, they drop back and they make a play. But when you see the quarterback all of a sudden pull the ball down in this kind of practice, I think we have been trained to go, ugh, you know? That has happened a lot less, and it happened really very rarely today. You're right about Whedon. He's really been coached. In the time that he's been under Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner, he's really been coached. So the point that Rob Chudzinski said today, Norv Turner is without a voice.
Yeah.
He's physically lost.
Yeah, he can't yell anymore.
He's lost his voice right now. And after hearing him last week, I could see how that would happen. You know, I think he's really being coached. He's accepting that. I heard an interview with Whedon last week on the side that he did, and people were asking him about how did he hear the criticism of his play last year. He said he tuned it out. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, completely true. I mean, I think that Brandon probably, you have to hear something. Mm-hmm. You have to hear that, you know, I think Brandon was certainly aware that the Browns maybe weren't 100% sure that he was the guy. But I do notice, you know, in the days that have gone on here, that he looks like the guy, that he's very comfortable with himself. And I think that's very important. If he's not comfortable with himself, then they have to look elsewhere. But I think right now he is very comfortable with himself. He's in a good place going into training camp, I think.
And receivers who can stand out a little bit. And Josh Gordon's standing out a lot.
Oh, boy, yeah.
He is consistently just making some nice plays.
You know, and I'm not putting down the other guys, but, I mean, sometimes it's a man versus boys out there. I mean, he's just got some natural gifts that he's just starting to realize. I mean, you know, he really is a fluid, you know, just a remarkable-looking athlete that is starting to put it all together. And he's in great football shape now, which, you know, was a big problem for him last year. There were so many guys that were, you know, battling from behind, I thought, during training camp last year, that it was so difficult to get ready for that opening game against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's all past them right now, but Gordon is, he looks exceptional. Quarterbacks love throwing to him, whether it's Whedon, whether it's Campbell, whether it's Hoyer. I mean, they love throwing to him, and it's fun watching him battle against Joe Hayden. And Hayden won a couple of those battles today.
Hayden did. I think that's the other thing I really like, is that these haven't all been just catches where he's got tremendous separation from everybody.
No, right.
He's in traffic. The ball is going to a spot where only he, with his athleticism, can reach out and snatch it, and he's doing that, and I like seeing that. And catches in traffic, as you say, and a couple of occasions Joe Hayden has made the play, but for the most part, that size, that strength, the long arms, the strong arms, all of those things are working in Gordon's favor.
Yeah, he just snaps that ball, and it gets into – it just looks like it's destined to go to him.
Yeah.
And the really great ones, I mean, that's how it looks. I mean, it's not mechanical. I mean, I love Josh Cribbs. I mean, I really do. I thought he was an amazing work in progress in the NFL, and he really did battle hard to become a receiver. But it was always a little bit mechanical, didn't you think, with Cribbs in trying to catch the ball? No slam on him. I'm bringing the point up to just say the fluidness of which Gordon is able to pluck that ball away from somebody. You can have great coverage on him, and he can still pull the ball away from you. The really great ones can. Bolden does it in, you know, when he plays, and certainly A.J. Green shows the capabilities of doing that too. But I think finally we've got a guy that does that.
No, there's no doubt. And I think, too, his play has inspired a Greg Little to give a little more and do a little more and be, I think, more attentive and concentrate on the ball. I don't see the issue of drop passes with him nearly as much as we worried about and saw last year. And I think he's running better routes. He looks like a guy who's more in command of his place. And the other guy who strikes me that way, too, is Travis Benjamin. I see in Travis a guy, Jim, who looks again, like it's a world of difference from year one to year two with the way he carries himself and runs routes. I think last year the playing receiver in the NFL was such a hard transition for him.
It was. And remember, he lost a little time in training camp, which, right. again, in a rookie year, I mean, Richardson had that happen to him, and this kid had it happen to him, and others have had it happen to them. It's so important in that rookie year to get every day, every session, push through it, and pick up everything you can, every rep you can. I think, Benjamin, you're right. I think really what they did with him last year was, and I think they did it with Gordon too, is that, hey, listen, just do what you can do, and we'll try and, you know, script out a couple of plays for you. But now they've got the full plate, and they've devoured that. And Benjamin's got another, you know, whereas Gordon is so fluid, Benjamin's just got that God-given gift. He's got that speed. I mean, that, you know, just lights up everything. But you're right. I mean, he doesn't mind going in traffic either and presenting himself over the middle, you know, in a short route that he can then blister and take off. Their receiving core is far more along than it was at this time last year. You know, the thing, Vic, today that was really pleasing to me, a lot of tight end action.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Barnage definitely was in there playing a lot. You know, Davis is in there playing a lot. Cameron, you know, made a couple of plays. He tightened up a little bit during practice. But I know a lot of people are wondering, what is the tight end in this offense? Today I got a look at it, and, you know, these guys were playing very well. Barnage is an interesting guy because Rob Chudzinski has said, you know, if he had been healthy in his years in Carolina, I think you would have seen a more productive player, at least on the stat line.
Yeah, I think he's been pigeonholed a little bit. People say, well,
he's a blocking guy,
a second tight end. He could be a little more than that.
Yeah.
He could do some things underneath. Not the fastest guy, mm-hmm. but I do think he's got pretty good hands, good concentration, runs good routes. You brought up Jordan Cameron, and it was a concern today on a pattern he ran to the end zone. He was being covered by Paul Kruger, and then he pulled up and he kind of reached down and grabbed it looked like the back of his leg. You heard Rob Chudzinski say he tightened up. They'll see what the result is on that. He was dealing with that groin injury that slowed him last week. So it's not comfortable to see that guy who you want to look at and see him emerge and be the guy have maybe more health issues.
Yeah, because a lot of people, and a lot of them being coaches, are intrigued by him a great deal of what he could offer them at that position if healthy. Now, remember, he's had a little bit of a concern with that in his couple of years here. But if healthy, I think that, you know, there's something consistent there, Vic, no matter who's in here coaching, okay? They all like him. I mean, everybody wants to take a shot at making him a great tight end in the NFL, and if he can stay on the field. So the thing they have going for them right now is they've got time if he is tight and if there is a problem there. They've got some time now until it really that you put your chips out there and you want them to be out there practicing. But he's another player now that he'll need that time. I mean, you know, lost time to him is a lost chance to get better.
Yeah. And speaking of health, Trent Richardson spoke with reporters
today
and essentially shot down any notion that what he's dealing with in the way of this shin strain is going to be or potentially there's a fear that it could be worse, that it could lead to some stress fracture, according to the report here that Will Bursch had on KNR. And he essentially and then the thought that he wasn't going to there was a chance he wouldn't be ready for the start of training camp. He said today that his expectation was to be there at the start of camp. So it sounded to me and he also said if we had a game Sunday, if the Browns were playing Sunday, he'd be able to play.
Well, I think that he's getting tired of it. And, you know, people then asking him about migraine, you know, medication that he has to take. Is he losing weight because of that? Is he not getting his lifting in because he's struggling with headaches? I have to tell you, I was getting a headache listening to it because, really, I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking to him about injuries in his close to 2 years now here in Cleveland because of, you know, walking off the campus at Alabama, having a knee problem, and everything that he went through last year. I think that he'll be happy, and I think we'll all be happy, when we're just dealing with, boy, you had a great game yesterday.
Yeah.
You had a great week of practice, didn't you? You're ready to go for this week's game. Instead of all these issues of, are you able to practice today? But until he can put together a string of, you know, healthy time here, I think it's going to be an ongoing battery of questions that are going to be, people are going to be parked in front of that locker asking him.
But for all those issues, he misses one game. as a rookie.
Yeah.
So for
yeah.
all those issues, I think it's actually a testament that yeah. he played. I mean, did he have a blow away year? No, but he had a strong
yeah,
enough
he
year
really
and showed what he can do in given situations. I think all of that spoke well to his ability to overcome what
yeah.
he was dealing with.
But what mesmerizes everybody is, what if he is healthy?
Yeah.
What will he be like then? And I think that's what the appetizer is to everybody is, what would he be like if he's completely ready to go? Now, folks, I have to tell you, I don't know if any player in the NFL is fully ready to go as the season goes along. I mean, it's just a tough sport that wears you down. But if he can stay on the field, they are a very, very, very explosive team.
He brought up that he was seeking to kind of drop some weight. He said that it's intentional with regard to trying to get more quickness, explosive. Mm-hmm. He played in the 230s last year. He mm-hmm. wants to play more in the 220s, mid 220s, 225, 223. He said that's where he'll be more comfortable versus being in the 230s with regard to cutting and breakaway speed.
Well,
and all
you know, and the other thing, Vic, is and fans will notice this when the doors open up here at the practice field and training camp opens up. These backs are out in that flat a lot. You know, they give you the ball out there and they want you to get it and go. And kids like, I'll tell you, that kid Deion Lewis can really get it and go. And Brandon Jackson, of course, is fighting to do that. And, you know, and Obanaya's got great hands. You are counted on to catch the ball. When you catch it, you have to make somebody miss. If he thinks that a lighter load is going to make him quicker, then I'm all for that.
I'm all for it too, Jim.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, Vic.
This is Cleveland Browns Weekend on 92.3 The Fan.
So, Mary Kay, we watched the first of the 3 days of mini camp practices today in Berea. And I want to start with just the big picture take on what you saw, because Rob Chudzinski made it clear afterward, this is about review, because all the offense and defense has been installed. So seeing what these players have retained and how they look performing it, what was your sense of that?
You know what? They are practicing so fast and at such a great clip. And each practice, it looks sharper and sharper to me. That's what I've been impressed with the most is, you know, especially in the passing game, I think it's really starting to come along. I remember when Rob Chudzinski installed his offense here back in 2007, and it did not look like this at this point in the preseason. So I've been very impressed with a lot of completions. I thought Brandon looked sharp today, especially on the deep ball. He's showing a good accuracy with Josh Gordon and some of the other guys. So I think it's coming along really well.
Yeah, I got that same sense, too, that the pace is pretty good, that the corrections seem minimal. And we heard last week Norv Turner yelling at some guys on the offensive side. And he still had some good, sharp commentary along the way. But I put that more in the category of just good, detailed coaching reinforcement and not so much, hey, you guys are screwing up, we got to keep doing this over and over again.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know what? They don't have a whole lot of time. I mean, they need to cram this stuff into these guys. They can't have a lot of mistakes. They need them to get up to speed as fast as possible. So they're going to be hard on them. They're going to throw a lot at them. They're going to expect great things out of them as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Now, Trent Richardson didn't practice, and he's not going to practice tomorrow or Thursday. Rob Chudzinski basically saying, you know, it's a cautious approach to his deal with the lower leg, the shin strain that he was dealing with, and not much more than that. I know there were some reports dealing with the fact that it was the idea of fearing something worse or that it could get worse if he participates, but you heard Rob Chudzinski say the expectation is that Richardson will be ready for the start of training camp at the end of July.
Like I said, there was a report out there you know, on ESPN Cleveland that there was a fear that it could be a stress fracture and that he might miss the beginning or that he would miss the beginning of training camp. But we were very specific when we questioned Chud on that today. He said he will be ready for the start of camp on July 26th. As far as the stress fracture thing, he basically said it's a muscle strain. We don't want the muscle strain to get any worse. But of course, a muscle strain doesn't turn into a stress fracture. So I think he was pretty careful to build this as a muscle strain. So, you know, from everything that I can tell, it's still precautionary. they still have every hope and expectation that he will be ready for training camp.
I mean, it's never comforting when a running back who dealt with his injuries as much as Richardson did last year isn't doing anything this time of year. We get that part of it. At the same time, Mary Kay, if I'm seeing him back in training camp and mostly involved in those drills, as much as you want a back involved and exposed to the contact and such in that, I'm okay with that. If it's another case of being a prolonged departure from work and he doesn't get a chance really to prepare for his second season in any meaningful way, then I guess I'd be more concerned with that. But right now, I don't feel a great sense of worry.
No, I don't think there's anything to be overly concerned about at this point. It's like you said, as long as he can get back on the field pretty early on in training camp, you know, hopefully for everyone right from the start, he really shouldn't miss a beat. He's around for everything. He's going to the meetings. He's very involved. And I know he's got a really good workout plan that he will be starting at the end of this month down in Pensacola, Florida, where he will also have an opportunity to meet from time to time with Dr. James Andrews, who has performed his surgeries and keeps a very, very close eye on Trent Richardson. So there's a lot of people involved in this. And I think for the most part, they're trying to get this young man healthy for the season.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was good to see Jordan Cameron out there. He had come back toward the end of OTAs from a groin deal that he was dealing with, and then he was out there today. And it looked like he was working, I think, mostly at full speed, but it seemed, too, like Chud was mentioning, you know, getting him back there and getting him in shape to get involved with workouts on a basis where he can catch some passes, maybe not push him too hard, because, again, you're looking at a guy who's vital to wherever this team's going to go at the tight end position.
He really is. I mean, they targeted him very early on as their starting tight end. They are counting on him. You know, they brought on a couple of other good tight ends, but he is their man, and he's going to be very, very involved in the passing game. They need him to be healthy, so they're going to be a little extra cautious with him as well. I think right now they recognize that maybe they don't have all the depth that they hope to have over the next 2 or 3 years. So they have to keep these guys really healthy and fresh. And everyone knows that a couple of key injuries can change the course of a season for you.
Mary Kay Cabot on with us. And Mary Kay, what are your thoughts about the inside linebacker spot in addition to DeQuell Jackson, who clearly looks like he's comfortable in what he's doing there? He talked a little bit about that today after practice as well, just as this defense continues to evolve, the Ray Horton scheme and feeling his comfort level as an inside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. But the spot next to him, you know, looking at some of the other players who are competing there, what are some of the things that have impressed you or not impressed you at that other spot?
Well, I think the first thing that stands out is the fact that Craig Robertson has been in there, you know, most of the time with the ones, you know, alongside DeQuell Jackson. And I think, you know, that's tremendous for Craig. You know, he's another player that, you know, just, you know, went undrafted and, you know, is here, you know, really working his way into what is shaping up to be another starting role. So I think it's great. I think Craig did some good things last year. I think he's, you know, he's got a lot to learn, obviously, but I think he's surrounded by some really good guys. I mean, if you're going to learn the inside linebacker position, you know, why not be next to DeQuell Jackson? That's a really great place to be. And then, of course, there's James Michael Johnson. Right. I know he will be vying for time there as well. So, you know, they have some good opportunities. And, you know, when I look at the linebacking core as a whole, you know, I've been very impressed. I mean, you're looking at, you know, outside and inside, you know, some really great talent there.
We appreciate the time, and we look forward to these next couple of days of practices. Mary Kay, we'll catch up with you again down the line.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Weekend on 92.3 The Fan.
From CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. And Pete, as we head into this time of year, teams are, I guess we're at a point of reflection as to some of the key points and areas teams will need to address or think about before training camp starts for most teams by the end of July. Your thoughts on the Browns?
Well, you know, I think they're doing things the right way. I mean, and by that I mean, you don't go out and spend money just for the sake of spending money to try and get a quick fix. What you do is you fill in some holes, and I thought they did that with, you know, getting Kruger, although I thought they overpaid for him, and Bryant, who I think is a really good football player. But you build a thing for the long run through the draft. And if you look at their roster, and a lot of people don't realize this, but if you look at their roster, there is good young talent on that team. I love Josh Gordon. I think, you know, I'm doing a thing on breakout players for this week, and he's going to be one of them. I'm talking about breaking out to the point where I think he's going to be an 80-catch guy. You know, you look at the offensive line, good young players on that line, particularly the, you know, the right tackle is going to be a good player. I thought he played well as a rookie. You know, Richardson, Whedon, if he can work through what and fit into that offense. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, Taylor is a good young player. I think Hayden, you know, is ready to take the next step and be a good player. Ward. So they have talent, and they have good young talent, which you want to have when you're building a football team.
You know, it's interesting you say that, too, because I know you weren't very high on this team's chances of doing much in the way of wins and losses going into, like, this past season. Do you see, and I'm guessing some of what you thought about was predicated, a lot of that was predicated on the youth that they had. So are you feeling better that there's quality within the youth of this team that now is a little more experienced?
Yeah, and usually you see these guys, you know, year two, year three, year four, where they take their step, where they're playing at a truly high level. So I think you're going to see more of that. You know, and Hayden, I love Joe Hayden. I just think at times Joe Hayden drifts, and you know, there's maybe he's not always as focused as he should be. If he gets focused, he could be one of the top three or four corners in the National Football League. So those guys, the young guys, they have to, you know, realize that this is their moment and they have to seize. And if they do, they're going to have a chance to be. I'm not going to say they're a playoff team, but if Wheaton, you know, and or Campbell or whoever can make throws down the field in that passing game the way North Turner likes it, then I think they have a chance to be an 8-8 team, 6-7-9 team.
You know, you had an interesting column under the heading of pressing questions for all 32 NFL teams heading into the summer. For the Browns, you zeroed in on that corner spot opposite Joe Hayden, talking about Leon McFadden being the likely candidate there, the third-round draft pick, but you also brought up Buster Skrine's name. Give me your thoughts on both of those players.
Well, you know, look, obviously with Hayden on one side, the other guy's going to see a lot of action. And he's going to get thrown at a lot, and it happened last year. And I think it's going to happen again this year, particularly if it's a rookie starting on the corner. But we've seen these young guys come in and play right away. And McFadden's a talented kid. Maybe some people thought he might have overdrafted him a little bit, but he's a talented kid. He's a thin kid. He's a little, you know, on the light side. But I think he's got a chance to step in and play some man coverage. I thought Skrine really struggled last year, and that was a problem. So, looking at it on the outside, looking in, I think McFadden will win the job. I do, and probably the right thing to do. But he better be in for a long season because he's going to get thrown out a lot.
Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com joins us. So, Pete, as you brought up Brandon Whedon a little bit earlier here, and I want to get more into this, the idea that really whatever development he's going to show in 2013 is going to happen because of what North Turner is able to do with him as offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach as far as the scheme that he and Rob Jedzinski put together, and specifically, I guess, the mechanical repairs or enhancements they try to make to his game. Is it realistic to think that coaching can make that much of a dramatic difference in a guy like Whedon from year one to year two?
Well, I think even last year, if you go back and watch his games, there were moments where you looked at him and you said, yeah, he's getting it. I mean, where he looked like an NFL quarterback and he was making all kinds of good throws and good reads and standing in the pocket and moving when he was flushed out and making throws. And then it would look really bad at times. But how much of that is because he's a rookie quarterback? You know, we've gotten to the point where we expect these rookie quarterbacks to step in and become stars or so-called stars like, you know, some of those guys did last year, and Russell Wilson and RG3 and Luck. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it takes a little time and talent. I mean, you know, he's working with young receivers as well. I mean, Gordon's a kid. Greg Little's not an older player. So he was working with younger players there last year as well. So I think you add it all up. There's talent there. I think he fits with what North Turner wants to do. If they can get that running game cranked up with Richardson and throw a lot of play action stuff down the field, I think Whedon can be plenty capable of doing that.
Pete, outstanding stuff as always, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
You got it, Vic. Take care, man.
All right, he is Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. I'm Vic Carucci, and I want to thank you so much for joining us on Cleveland Browns Weekend on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. I want to remind you to catch us at the same time next Saturday morning, and don't forget to follow me on Twitter at VICCARUCCI, and check out my blog, Carucci's Call, presented by Revel Wireless, throughout the week on ClevelandBrowns.com.